ගෞරවාදරේ ශ්‍රීමති භක්ති විරාන්ත ස්වාමිනේ තිනාමනේ නාමස්ති සරසරි දේවි ගෞරවාණී ප්‍රචාරිනේ නේ විශේෂ සඳවාරි පස්සත්‍ය සතරිනේ හරි ක්‍රිෂ්ණ thank you for inviting me to your wonderful center here in Los Angeles. It's my first visit here in the USA. I'm very happy and honored to be here. As mentioned, today we will speak about the pastimes of Sri Jagannath. Can you hear me? Can you put the volume? My voice is not very loud. we're going to speak about that. We have some very ancient deities in Mayapur. Mayapur is our eastern headquarters. As this Los Angeles is our western headquarters, so eastern headquarters is in Sri Mayapur Dham. That is the place where the Yuga avatar Lord Chaitanya appeared only 500 years ago. It's a very sacred place on the bank of the beautiful river Ganges. And the Lord has appeared in this particular age because this age of Kali, this is the Iron Age, is very, very difficult for spiritual advancement in this particular age. So he has come with a very, very simple process, which is this Nam Sankirtan. It means congregational chanting of the Lord's holy name as the best method at this particular age for God realization. And so he was born there. That's where we had that center. So he is called Mahavadanaya, Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namari Gauti Senaha. Lord Chaitanya, he is given what no other avatar gave. The other avatars, when they appear, they usually come and they give a practice, a religious practice, that one can become free from the mode of passion and ignorance and come to goodness. They generally establish the Varnashram system, and they give religious processes such as Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga. But this age of Kali is just too bad. These things are not powerful enough to counteract this age. So therefore he's made it very simple. Knowing our condition, that we more or less, it's very difficult to become purified. It's very difficult to control the mind nowadays. So then he is very merciful and understanding that he will accept our service under, no matter our qualification. So he's, in other words, he's waived hundreds and hundreds of births, which we would have taken by following these regular practices to come to the Sudha-Sattva platform, beyond the mode of goodness. He's not considering whether one is qualified, one is not qualified. He simply chant the names of Krishna or Vishnu, and that would be the most effective way in this particular age of Kali. So as he is very merciful, also this Mayapur Dham is very merciful. It says every step you take in Mayapur, you get the same result of performing 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. When you sleep in Navadvip, you get the same benefit as paying dandabats anywhere else. And it says that to achieve love of God is very, very difficult. Even if you live in a holy place, even if you chant, if you process of chanting, it's very difficult to achieve love of God. But it says in Navadvip, if you chant the names of Gauranga and Nittai, Krishna Prema comes looking for you. So that is the wonderful abode where we have a wonderful center. There's a lot of you have already been there. We have very nice arrangements for everyone to stay. Over 800 guest rooms are there. And we have the presiding deities of Sisyuradha Madhava, Astashakki, Panchatattva, Lord Nrsingadev, Gauri Thai. And also we have another temple, which is an ancient temple, that is a temple of Lord Jagannath. That is nearby. It is about 5 kilometers from our temple in Mayapur. That place is called Rajapur. And these deities are at least 500 years old. And the history was that in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an incarnation, is not different from Lord Krishna. He's a very esoteric information. We have some books here if you want to understand who Lord Chaitanya is. He's a combination of Radha and Krishna. He's Krishna, but he's in the mood of his own devotee. He's a very deep and esoteric incarnation to understand. But he's appearing as a devotee of himself because he cannot understand his own sweetness. He can't understand the love of his devotees, how they feel so much pleasure. It's said that the devotees actually, they feel more pleasure than God. There is a narration in the Chaitanya Mangal where Rukmini is serving the Lord, massaging his feet, Dwarkidish, and she's crying. So he asked Devi, "Why are you crying?" He said, "You're always crying. Why is that?" And she said, "Prabhu, you just cannot understand the great pleasure that we feel in serving your lotus feet. You can never understand. You just can't realize what sweetness that we see in you. What great love we feel for you. You can never understand this because you're the possessor of that sweetness. You're the object. So how can you ever understand this?" So Dwarkadish was surprised. Then Narada Muni came through. You know Narada Muni? He's a transcendental spaceman. He said after he sat Narada down and worshipped him and received him properly. He said, "Naradaji, there's something very wonderful. There's something I don't know. You know," he said, "I'm God and there's something I don't know. I didn't know that." So, being God, he's the most intelligent. So he's got to find out. He's got to feel. He's got to feel what his devotees feel. He's got to taste that. So therefore, he says, "I can only find out if I become a devotee." Huh? This is very esoteric. That God. He takes the mood of a devotee, and he chooses the best devotee, Srimati Radharani, and he also chooses her. The color of Srimati Radharani, which is molten gold. Molten gold is very, very attractive. Have you ever seen molten gold? It's so attractive. So he's come to taste that. And it's so nice, when he's experiencing that, it's so nice that he thinks everyone should have this. So therefore, you take, anyone he sees, please take it. He's just giving. So he's so intoxicated with this this feeling of love of God that he's not considering who is actually qualified to take it or not. Huh? We have seen when a person's intoxicated, they can't discriminate properly. So here, God has lost his discrimination. And he's just given to anyone, "Please take it." He's begging you, "But it's so nice, please take it." So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this is the holy Dharma of Mayapur, where every grain of dust has the same potency for that, the chintamani, wish, desire fulfilling. So this 500 years ago, this Lord Chaitanya, after he took sannyas and he moved to Puri, his mother would ask him to live somewhere close by so she could receive news from him, because generally, traditionally, a sannyasi wouldn't go back to his house. So he was residing in Puri for the last 18 years of his life. So then all the Gaudiyas, they would go there every year. They would walk to Puri from Bengal, which was probably take, I guess, 10 or 12 days. Now it's an overnight train ride, but then there were no trains. So they would walk to Puri and stay there for the 4 months of the rainy season. And they would get the association of Mahaprabhu and the association of Lord Jagannath. Rath Yatra was there, like it's coming up here very soon. This way they would be past the 4 months of the rainy season in great ecstasy. The one devotee, he became blind. And his name was Jagadish Ganguly. So obviously they couldn't take him. They were going by foot. So they said, we're sorry, but how, you know, it's impossible that you will be able to come with us. So when all the devotees left, he was so distraught, he was so heartbroken that he'll never ever see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. He'll never see Jagannath again. He said, "What is the use of living? When I take my bath in the Ganges tomorrow, I won't come back." So that evening, Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream and said, "Don't think like this. Actually, where you're living, staying right now, this is actually not different from Jagannath Puri, Sri Khetra Dham. You know, Jagannath Puri in Orissa, where the famous temple is. All of the holy places are contained within Mayapur, just like in Vrindavan. You find all the other holy places, you find various spots in Vrindavan. Well, those places, every other holy place has its place in there. So Mayapur is actually not different from Vrindavan. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different from Krishna, he is directly Krishna himself, in a different mood. So Mayapur is not different from Vrindavan. So he said this very place where you're living is not different from Sri Khetra Dham. It's not different from Jagannath Puri. And I eternally reside here. So sometimes I'm manifest and sometimes I'm unmanifest. I'm not manifest now, but I desire once again to resume my pastimes, make my pastimes visible here. Tomorrow when you take your bath, I will touch you in the form of a log. I will come floating in the Ganges and I will touch you. At that time your sight will be restored. Now you should take me to this certain village, and in that village you'll find one carpenter who is a devotee of mine, and you should get him to carve my form of Lord Jagannath. And nearby in that village there's a big neem tree. You can get him to cut my brother Balaram and my sister Subhadra. So next morning that happened. So a miracle occurred that immediately he got his sight back. So he was very ecstatic, very excited. So he told the villagers. They took the log to the village and found this carpenter. The carpenter had leprosy. He flatly refused. How can I make a holy deity? My hands are all, body's contaminated. So they tried to get other people, but nobody could cut that log. So eventually they persuaded that carpenter, this is the Lord's desire that you do. You have to obey the Lord. So with great difficulty he managed to carve the deity. While he was carving the deity, so his leprosy was going. And by the time he finished, then his leprosy had completely disappeared. So it was two miracles even as Lord Jagannath appeared. So since that time also, there's been many other miracles with this deity. From that time, the history was after when this devotee left his body and went back to Lord Jagannath, then the worship declined very greatly. There was hardly any worship going on. And Lord Jagannath came in a dream that we're not being worshipped properly, and one of our family members has become corrupt. I will wish to close the pastimes. So, and there will be an epidemic, a cholera epidemic will come. Everyone should leave this place. So everyone left except the family who were worshipping a deity. They got cholera and everyone died. So then the temple became covered with jungle because nobody owned the place anymore. So it was more or less, and the temple more or less fell down around Lord Jagannath, except for where the deities were. That part that was remained intact, but the rest practically fell down. All right, I don't know exactly how long ago this was. It could have been even in the 1920s. It could have been. This is as far as we could find out. But at that time, in the 1950s, there was they knew the temple was there. People knew it was there, but no one would go there because it was infested with snakes and things like that. Except one young girl, she would go there. She's still alive. She told us she used to crawl on her hands and knees through the jungle and go to the temple and see Jagannath. She said there were snakes, everything, everywhere. But she said, I had no fear because I was a child. But there was never any animals or snakes on the deities. There was one, another devotee, not exactly a devotee, he was a Shakta also. And he's a little bit of a mystic. He died a few years ago. His name was Jaimini Ghosh. So sometimes he would go in what they call bhar. It means he'd go into this trance and then the deity would speak through him. So then he would speak as if the deity was speaking. He was this, so he came a little famous in the area. And he used to cure people from diseases. He used to cure animals when they got sick. He had a little bit of a reputation. But one day he goes in this bar, and he appears from there's one family that lived quite nearby the temple. Although they knew the temple was, Jagannath was there, nobody went there, so, except for the daughter. So when he would worship in his own house, he'd be worshiping the deities, and he would just, from the door, he would, you know, offer to Lord Jagannath in a temple 50 yards away or something. So anyway, one day Jamini comes with his red cloth and all his garlands and on, and he's saying, he gets in his mind, it's not good enough, it's not good enough, this worship of me. I demand that you worship me properly. Why are you neglecting my worship like this? So they became very scared. So then they went and cleaned the temple up and repaired it. So that was about in the 1950s, I would imagine. He said that the deity, when they first found the deities, it was almost half buried in a termite's nest, but miraculously, they were unharmed, even though Jagannath is supposed to be made of wood, Naru Brahman. They were a little damaged when we got it. Anyway, the deities actually couldn't stand up. They were just leaning against the wall. But they're quite large deities. So when this young girl, she was the daughter of that person who lived nearby. He actually, by decree of the village, then he took over the temple. And he had 7 daughters and no sons. So when this youngest daughter was getting married, her name is Gauri, then some thieves came to the wedding, because where there's a wedding, there's some gold. So there was they knew they were thieves because they were local people. So, but it was an auspicious time. They didn't all make it unauspicious. So they invited, please come and take some prasadam. And after, they were keeping their eye on them. But anyway, at one time they went to one place and they started a discussion. It became very heated. And then they began, you know, arguing and fighting. And then they caused such a disturbance that they all suddenly left. A few days later, the leader of that gang, he came to the owner of the temple. His name is Pratik Chatterjee. He told him, actually, that day we came to where we came to rob you. He said, but we were just planning how to do it. Then we saw this light which came from Jagannath's temple, and it was hovering over you. And then I saw that. I knew there was something extraordinary here. And I told the others, we won't be successful tonight. We'll have to call this off. So there was a debate whether we should do it. Some wanted to go for it and some didn't. So then it ended in a fight. So we caused so much attention that we had to go. Then in 1970, there was a war between India and Pakistan, Bangladesh. Bangladesh is very close to Maya. It's about 30 kilometers. But anyway, it was a Hindu-Muslim thing, more or less. So there's a lot of tension in the atmosphere there, and like I said, this Pratik Chatterjee, he had 7 daughters and no sons. So then he moved away, because there's a Muslim village that area also. After some days, then the chief of the village came and asked him, why have you moved away? Why don't you come back to your house? And he said, well, you can understand the situation's a little volatile. I've got 7 daughters. And he said, no, don't. We'll make sure nothing happens. He said, thanks, you know, but no thanks. And he said, ever since you've been gone, he said, we're feeling very fearful, because we're hearing voices coming from the temple. And the voices are saying, why no one is coming anymore? Why no one is feeding us? Why no one is coming to do our worship? And we are very, very, very much afraid. You please come back, and we promise we'll give you your daughter's full protection. So he came back, and they gave him a special protection for his daughters. Then, one time, a devotee came from Puri, a devotee of Lord Jagannath, Gaudiya. He came to see the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he was there in Navadvip Mayapur, he asked, is there any Jagannath temple nearby? So they told him, there's one, if we have a Jagannath temple, this place is called Rajapur. And so he went there and worshipped deities. Jagannath was his sister Dev. And Lord Jagannath spoke to him. He said, here, he said, it's not like in Puri. You know, we don't get this Japan Bog. It's 56 offerings a day. They're very poor here. What we get is a little fruit sometimes. If you could arrange a feast for us, at least once, we'd be very happy, obliged. And the Shnanyatra festival is coming up very soon. If you can make a feast on that day. So then he arranged a nice feast for them on that day, Shnanyatra. So that's the biggest festival of the year. There are thousands of people come and everyone gets a chance to bathe Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. They have a big festival and distribute prasadam. One rickshaw driver came, devotee, and took some prasadam. Then he took one cup of prasad for his friend, who was a rickshaw driver also, but his friend was a Muslim. And he threw it away, like this. But the next day he came back. He was offering some items of worship for Lord Jagannath. And he asked the pujari, can you give a little prasad from yesterday? So he was curious, well, how come, you know, you're a Muslim man, you want to take this prasad from Jagannath? He said, well, yesterday, he said, I made a great offense and it almost cost me my life. He said, this white one, he had me down, he was sitting on me and crushing me. And he was choking me. And he said, you rascal, I will finish you off. He made a great offense. He said, I was begging for mercy. And he said, mercy? You don't know what mercy means. He said, my brother is worshipped by honoring his prasadam. You had that prasadam and you rejected it? I'll finish you. He said, the yellow one, she was laughing. She said, very good, kill him, kill him, kill him. And he said, also the black one. The black one was also laughing, but he said, no, don't kill him. So if you could give a little prasadam, then the pujari managed to find some prasadam, so he took that and was satisfied. So the local people have very healthy respect for Lord Jagannath. He's a little unpredictable sometimes. We built a new temple there, and in the 1980s we built a new temple. I think we got it in about 78 was given to us. And we built a new one. But while we were building the new temple, every day one of the workers, he would take home one slab of marble. So one day he comes out with his bullock cart full of marble. With it like this. Made a big mistake. So he said, they said, what's going on? He said, well, I'm very sorry. I've actually been stealing this marble, but I'm now returning. He said, Lord Baladev came in my dream last night. Why are you stealing my brother's marble from his temple? He said, you immediately take it back. I will destroy you and your whole family. Immediately take it back. So he brought it back. And there was another thief there, and his friends warned him, don't steal from Jagannath temple. He's very unpredictable. He warned him, don't do it. But he would steal anyway. A thief. So anyway, later on, he was robbing somewhere in a village. They caught him and they cut his hand off. And then they called the police. So when the police came, he said, before you take me to prison, he said, you please take me to Jagannath temple. He said, I know why this happened to me. He said, I want to apologize to Lord Jagannath. Taking these things. When we had a... This Jagannath temple is on the Prikram path. We didn't usually go there, but it was the first time we went there, probably seven, with a big crowd of international devotees. Maybe 78 or something like that. But anyway, then the pujari, he was old and he had no sons. So he's so inspired. He saw all these enthusiastic young devotees from all over the world. So then he asked if we would care to take the temple over, which everyone said, Haribol, and so then we took the temple. It was really broken down at that time, really run down. There was hardly any worship going on. Still, there was only cooking once a year on that snanyatra. Otherwise, it would just be offering some fruit and sweet. So then there was no facility at that place for cooking, so we used to cook in our temple. So this is about 5 kilometers away. So then we would cook extra for what we were cooking for Radha Madhav, Rajbhog. And then the pujari would put it in a tiffin, and he would, on his bicycle, then he would take it there and offer it to Lord Jagannath. One of our co-directors, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, he said, actually the temple is not legally ours. He said, because so many people, there's so many signers on this land. He says, there's still a couple more signatures to get. So he said, don't make too high a standard of worship, just in case we don't want to start something high and then we can't keep the temple. We don't want to do that. He didn't know there was offering the boga. So then the pujari thought, okay, I won't bring that boga. So next day he didn't make the offering. But at night he dreamt, he went to the temple and the deities were gone. And he was devastated. And he came outside, what's going on with it? And then he saw them walking across the fields. Hey Jagannath, Prabhu, come back. Maharani, Baladev, come back. And they said, No, we're not coming back. You don't feed us here. We're going to Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. They have nice prasad down there. Of course, when Jayapataka Maharaj said, I didn't know he was making an offering. No, you must admit it, you must continue. So another time the pujari came and he made the offering. And then he realized he hadn't bought any tulsi leaves. So he thought, what to do? There's tulsi growing around, but that place was really broken down. He thought, if I leave and go and pick some tulsi, then some dog may come in or some children may come play in there. So then he prayed, Prabhu, I know that you say that you don't accept any offering without tulsi, but please consider the circumstance. Please accept it anyway. So then he went outside, chanted the mantra, went in to do the arati. He's going to take the boga off, and in the rice, there was a tulsi branch about 10 inches stuck right in the middle of the rice. Jagannath Swami ki, yeah. There's only one door. So. One pujari had lots of experiences with Lord Jagannath. One time he was sick, and not many people were coming that time. So he did the morning program. They put the deities to rest at 1 o'clock and then wake them again at 4 o'clock. So after he put the deities to rest, then he told the guard there, he said, hey Chokidar, that he said, I'm not gonna wake the deities at 4 o'clock. He said, the other pujari is not here, but I'm too sick, so I'll wake the deities up later in the day. So don't, I'm just telling you, I'm going to take rest, I'm very sick. So he's taking rest. Then the Lord appears in his dream and said, what's going on? You have a little fever and you want to stop our service? You didn't stop taking prasadam. You didn't stop doing your bhajan. You said, love kirtan, this boy. Yeah? But you want to stop our service? Come on. Then he woke up. Well, I have to get it. But he said, I was really wiped out, really sick. So then he fell back to sleep. But as soon as he back to sleep, then it was a banging on the door. It was a chokidar. Wake up. It's time to wake the deities. I told you, don't wake me up. Come on, you have to wake. He said, oh, this is too much. Jagannath must want me to. So then he got up, he's waking the deities, and Lord Jagannath spoke to him. He said, actually, I'd like you to do my service. You know, he said, the other pujari, he's not very careful. Sometimes when he's dressing me, he sticks the pins in me. Yes, he said, you lift up my charter, you will see. They pulled the charter from Jagannath's arm and found one spot of blood. Jagannath Swami ki. At the time he was dreaming. There was a knocking on the door, banging on the door. It was winter time. It was the cold season begins on Udon Shasti. If you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who criticized the Pandas in Puri for putting this starch cloth on Lord Jagannath. He thought the starch cloth wasn't comfortable and also it wasn't very clean, because they dip it, only often they dip the woven cloth in rice water to make it very stiff, something like that. Anyway, he thought it's not proper, it's not pure. So then Lord Jagannath appeared in his dream and began to slap his face and tell him, you mind your own business. If you're so particular about rules and regulations, he said, I like my pandas how they serve me. You go somewhere else if you're not satisfied. Anyway, when he woke up in the morning, all his cheeks were red and swollen. You know that story. That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's the day then he gets his starch cloth. Also, that's the day he gets his blankets, quilt for the bed. It was before that, but it was also cold. Pujari hears it banging on the door. He opens the door. It's his dream. He can't see anyone. He looks down. He sees the small deities laying on their back shivering. You don't think we feel cold? You're sleeping very nicely under your quilt. What about us? You don't think we feel cold? So we had to start early that day. Another time he was dressing the deities, putting on these necklaces. He put in 1, 2, 3, 4. Then the necklace fell down. He picked it up and they put it on again. And again it fell off. He picked it up and he secured it on again. Again it fell off. He picked it up again. Lord Jagannath said, I don't want any more. Don't you understand? There was another family living there. They're in Atlanta now. This he's a little young boy, but the old temple was there, and he went there one day, and he saw that Subhadra was very 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 nice attractive ornament. So he thought he'd take that as a kid. Anyway, his mother told us a story that he came running into her. He was hysterical. He's crying, and she said, "What happened?" He said, "I went to the temple." And Subhadra had such an attractive brooch that I thought I'd take it. He said, and there was no one around. So I just crept in there. So I was just going to take it. Then Balaram swung his arm and slapped my face. I asked him, was that true? I just saw him. He said, I was just going to take it. And then the next thing I knew, I was laying outside in my back on the temple, outside the temple on my back. There was another similar story to the one devotee. It was local man lives there, Prahlad. So he used to do the night guard there. So he was there on it was Balaram Jayanti. So he was there observing the festival in the morning. Then he was taken. The president gave him a big pot of Mahaprasad from Baladev. He didn't need it. He was tired. He was sitting down and he dozed off with the pot next to him. Then after some time he woke up and he found the pot was empty, overturned a little way, so he could understand that his dog had come and eaten it all. So he thought, oh no, I'm in trouble now. He said, he knows Jagannath very well. He lives there. I wonder what's going to happen to me. So sure enough, that night, he's doing his night duty, and then he's dozing off. He's leaning against the temple, and he's dozing off. Then he dreams that Lord Jagannath climbs out the window and throws him on the ground and sits on him and starts to strangle him. And he said, "Why, you're a great offender. For this offense, there's only one recourse. You'll have to take another birth." And he said, I was gasping. It seemed like 7 minutes. My eyes were bulging. I could hardly breathe. And I was saying, have mercy on me, have mercy. He said, no, there's no recourse. This is the mercy I'm going to show you. He said, no, please have mercy. No, you've offended my brother. You've dishonored my brother. You know, you can only approach me through my devotee. And Baladev is the greatest devotee. And you've made an offense to him. How do you think you can approach me? There's only one remedy for that crime. I'm going to finish you off. That was God. Then Subhadra Devi came, and she was trying to take him off. She pulled him. She said, "Dada, Dada, don't do it. No, he's a devotee. Don't kill him." He said, "No, no, this is a just punishment for him." He said, "It wasn't a serious thing. It was a mistake." "No, don't." "No, no." He was very angry. So then she went away and bought Lord Jagannath. Then Jagannath took him off. And then Jagannath proceeded to give him some instructions. Most of them were personal. He wouldn't tell us. A few things like, he said, you're the night guard here. He said he was angry. But he said, okay. He said, but you must be very careful in the future. Don't make these. And when you're doing your duty here, you must see that nobody steals anything from our, not even one brick. There's no one should ever do any hanky panky. And you especially, you must be very careful in your behavior. And he said he gave him 10 instructions. Most even, he said, other personal things. Another time he was sitting in a tree. It's a beautiful place. There's an old mangoes and jackfruit orchard. His temple was right in the middle of that. So he was sitting in a tree night, because sometimes there's snakes around. And he saw one person come. It's late at night. The temple was closed. Then he sees one person walking through the orchard. So he's surprised that, you know, someone's walking around in the middle of the night. He said, and he came under the tree, he passed me, he went towards the temple. He said, but he was a gentleman, you know, very nicely dressed and long hair with some scented oil he could smell. And he went to the temple. The temple was locked, but he heard a kirtan start. Then it was, you know, then he heard kartals and he heard madangas. And he heard, you know, big kirtan. The ladies were ululating, and he said, the temple was locked. He said, there's no one there. He said, I didn't go and see what happened. I was a little scared, but he said, I think it was some devatas coming there to worship Lord Jagannath. He said, otherwise, the temple was locked. It's the middle of the night. And one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, Sannyasi, this was before we had the temple. He told us he was there. And he was the only one in the temple. The pujari bought the bhoga and it wasn't covered. He bought this fruit. And as he walked in the temple, so something fell from the door onto the bhoga. He said he didn't see it. The pujari didn't see it. So I noticed these things because he was in the mat since he was 11 years old, this old man. Then. But so he was a pujari. He noticed these things. He said, only after the aarti, he said, then this lady came up just in white, old lady, and she started to chastise him like anything, the pujari. Why are you offering impure things to Lord Jagannath? Why are you not covering the boga? There's dogs can see that. You must be careful. He said, there was no one there. He said, I was the only one there. So who this lady was, I don't know. But she knew. And she came and gave Jagannath the sauce. The pujari did. There was another the kids in the village used to play there. This was before we had the temple, but the kids used to play there, and one of the girls, she was showing the soles of her feet to the deity. So then the other children said, don't do that, this is Thakur. She was a Muslim girl. No, she didn't care. But then immediately after that, she got a disease in her feet, which spread to her legs, and now she walks around on her knees in the village. So they know Jagannath's very powerful, the local people. So they'll bring in even the non-Hindus, they will bring, you know, the first harvest, the first grains and fruits and things to Lord Jagannath. But one time also there was some epidemic going on, quite serious. I mean, some people were dying. And Lord Jagannath, in a dream, told the pujari of a medicinal cure. So he was very excited in the morning. He told everyone, and they gathered all these ingredients, save one ingredient which didn't grow in the area. Anyway, later on in the day, this young boy, he comes up with this branch of herbs. So he's asking for the pujari. He wasn't there. So pujari's wife said, oh, he's, leave it there. When the pujari came back, he said, this is actually the missing ingredient that we want. He said, where did it come from? She said, I don't know. It's come from one. This boy is not from this village. I never seen him before, I believe. So they made that medicine, and everyone was cured. So everyone, no respect, Jagannath is very special. Now, then this other pujari is talking about, he was in a dream. Jagannath came to him and said, when you put us to bed, because we put the small deities in bed, he said, when you put us to bed, he said, you're not very careful. You have to be more attentive in future. Sometimes you pick us up, you put your finger in my eye and pick me up like that. It's not very nice. This is the cursing of the finger. It's a muti finger. Don't do that. And he was, later on, he was actually waking. He was actually putting the deities to bed. And he said, then Lord Jagannath put out his hands. I told you, don't touch me with this finger. He took off his cloth. So Jinnam said, wait a minute. He said, how can Lord Jagannath show his finger? He doesn't even have any hands. He said, he has. I've seen. One lady bought one mirror. Just one mirror with the seashells stuck on the back, you know, like you get at the seaside. I don't know if you get here on Venice Beach, but anyway, so she offered it. She said, please give this to Lord Jagannath. So then the pujari asked, oh, thank you very much. He said, why are you offering this? Because she was a Muslim from the village, local. She said, I have my two grandchildren are, you know, practically, clinically blind from birth, practically, almost blind. She can hardly see. So I've been praying always. I've been praying to anyone and anyone, anything. I've been praying for, but recently I've been feeling a reciprocation from Lord Jagannath. So then I made a promise to him. Lord Jagannath, if you can make my children's eyes shine like a mirror, I will buy you a mirror. She said, and the next morning the kids woke up and their eyesight was perfect. So now I'm bringing the mirror, which I promised. So Jagannath's very good at, you know, things like that, curing people, and, you know, for barren women, he's very good at that thing. Here's a funny story. One girl, she came to the temple, and the temple was closed. So she said, oh, Lord Jagannath, will I never get married? She was about 35. A very poor girl, village girl. Then a voice came from the temple, surely you will be married very soon. Then the pujari, brahmachari stepped out from the curtain. She covered her head like that. He said, but not me. but in a very short time, one gentleman from the village did marry, and he's quite wealthy. And he told her, and then she came, she said, now my husband told me, this is my only business. She said, I used to be a maid. She said, now I've got my own maid. She said, my only business now is to, he said, my only business is to cook nice bhoga, offer it to Lord Jagannath, and feed me. So she's very thankful for Lord Jagannath to fulfill her desires. So this, if you visit Mayapur, you can also visit these wonderful deities. We have published a little book. I don't know if they have it here, I doubt it. But there's at least like 24, I think, stories, these things that happen. There was another one, it's very similar to a story in Puri also, that in that mango orchard, mangoes and jackfruits, there's one very sweet jackfruit tree. So one day the person who was looking after the orchard, then he saw some boys stealing the fruit. So then he chased them, and they run into the temple area. Did he come behind them? And the pujari was sitting there in the front of the temple. And he asked, "Where are those boys?" He said, "What boys? Are those two boys that just come through?" He said, "Nobody came. I'm right behind them. I'm hot on their heels." He said, "No one came here." He didn't say, "You sure?" He said, "One was a little dark, one was a little light. You didn't see them?" "No one came here." He said, "They were stealing my jackfruit." But he said, "They jumped down the tree so quickly, he tore his cloth. I got a piece." "Let me see that." He said, "There's Jagannath's cloth." And they went to saw that Jagannath had a piece of cloth missing from his charter. And then they found the jackfruit on the side of the temple. Jagannath Swami ki jai. What
is the current situation of the temple?
The ground.
The old temple over there.
No, we've made a nice, very nice new temple for him. And just this year, we've just extended the gardens, the fence, so I'm making a pond and a new stand vedi. The road is made. The government have made the road proper. So it's becoming very opulent. And we started a Chapan Bog scheme where people give 25,000 rupees as a deposit. And then from the interest, that maintains one day's boga. So that's also going. So Jagannath is becoming very comfortable now. And eating very nicely. Very famous prasadam, Jagannath Temple.
I have been there one time.
Yes? Did you take prasadam?
Yes.
We supposed to finish at 6?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you some stories later. Jagannath Swami ki jai. Sri Mayapadham ki jai. Sri Gopada ki jai. Jai Gopramandi Hari Hari. Thank you very much.